Robert Schumann, my goodness, he wrote wonderful songs and some memorable short pieces for piano, but in his four symphonies and the other music he wrote for long forms, he gives himself away as really a kind of talented amateur. He could write a good tune, but how he turned a tune into music for orchestra, his orchestrations, are inept and bland and disorganized. That, in a nutshell, has been a common criticism of Robert Schumann. American pianist Jonathan Biss would like to have a word with that common wisdom about Schumann. Jonathan Biss is devoting much of the coming season to music by Schumann, and he'll join us for the next 3 days as well. Jonathan Biss, welcome back to PT.
Thank you. Very nice to be here.
Jonathan, what do you find so striking about music by Robert Schumann?
Well, Schumann is, for me, the most poetic of all composers. He has a way of turning a phrase, which is so surprising and so unlike anything else, and which just can pierce the heart without even seeming to try to.
And there has been this ongoing criticism of Schumann as a composer for more than 100 years now, that he's somehow lacking some essential element of what makes a composer great.
Well, I think he's an easy target, first of all, because his music is so unlike anything else. You know, it doesn't conform to any conventional idea of how music is supposed to be. And then I think also because his music is so much about that tiny detail, about the way moment to moment it can just stop your heart, that's not a quality that really gets a composer respect per se. You know, we tend to evaluate our composers first and foremost on their ability to put together these grand edifices. And Schumann could do that, but he did it in his own very personal way. And it's really the way the music speaks on a very, very local level that makes it so spectacular.
Let's talk about one of those collections. Among the many sets of pieces in which Schumann wrote lots of little bits that add up to a larger whole is this collection called Scenes from Childhood, Kinderszenen. I wonder if you could choose one of these as a way of introducing our 3 days of Schumann conversation and music.
Well, it's difficult. Each one of them is a jewel, but one may as well introduce the 3 days with the beginning. So this is, in fact, the first of the 13 movements in the Kinderszenen, and it's called Vom fremden Ländern und Menschen, which is of foreign lands and people.
The first scene from the Scenes from Childhood by Robert Schumann, played for us by Jonathan Biss. Of Foreign Lands and Peoples. That's part one from Kinderszenen, Scenes from Childhood by Robert Schumann. Jonathan Biss at the piano in the NPR studios in Washington, D.C. Jonathan, that's immediately arresting. It's just beautiful, almost impossible not to sing along with. And it has this gentle sweetness and underlying bittersweetness at the same time.
Yeah, there's nothing in Schumann that isn't at least bittersweet. I mean, I often feel that it's music which is meant to be consoling, probably primarily to himself. And to me, the other thing that strikes me so much about it when I play it is that It's an expression of something so private, and yet somehow it's generous at the same time. I mean, there's something so beautiful being given in it, and yet it comes from a place very deep inside.
Jonathan, we mentioned that Schumann has often come under kind of a withering criticism from people who think about and write about music for a living, who say he didn't know how to structure large pieces of music. Felix Weingartner was a conductor who in 1904 wrote that Schumann's sound is thick and clumsy, that the color is gray on gray, that the most important voices sometimes cannot be heard. And this kind of criticism became almost a truism. This is how a lot of conductors for the last century have thought about Schumann.
Well, the gray on gray I reject wholesale. But there's a certain truth in it. As far as thick goes, it's not music which is supposed to sound easy. I mean, it being effortful is a part of its nature. And in terms of clumsy, I dare say that's maybe partly why I love it so much, that no line in Schumann proceeds exactly the way you expect it to. It has a slight awkwardness about it, which makes it all the more oddly beautiful.
You know, it's one thing to talk about it. It's another thing to hear it. Do you have a symphonic example that you could play for us?
Well, there are many, but one which I particularly love, it's from the slow movement of the Fourth Symphony, in which the main line is played by a solo oboe and one single cello, and they're playing in octaves with one another. And it's not a sound that anybody ever tried to make before. It's not one that I could have envisioned, but it's incredibly beautiful. And in fact, Brahms imitated it, so I'm not the only one who finds it to be so special.
All right, let's hear this example, the opening of the second movement from Schumann's Symphony No. 4. Beautiful opening of the second movement from the Symphony No. 4, the Symphony in D minor by Robert Schumann, with the melody at first doubled between the oboe and the cello, then some more winds come in and the orchestration gets a little thicker behind it. Beautiful example of the innovation of some of the orchestration of Robert Schumann. Robert Schumann often derided by conductors in particular and by other music writers too for his orchestration. Jonathan, how did this come to be such a common idea about Schumann?
Well, I think the classical music world is not known for being forward-looking. And certain ideas about the ways in which pieces are put together, the ways in which they're orchestrated, the ways in which they're structured, become accepted wisdom. And then if somebody tries to go their own way, there's a tremendous amount of resistance to it. And Schumann's orchestration, I mean, you hear in that example, it doesn't sound like anything else. I mean, the oboe on top of that cello, I mean, that's not straightforward, but it would be less beautiful if it was straightforward. It's so wonderful because it suggests something a little bit off-kilter in some way.
And maybe in a way, it was easy to look at Schumann and say, well, we know that he had mental problems. We know he had a difficult time. We know he had hallucinations. We know he had delusions. We know that he attempted suicide. We know that he spent the last 2 years of his life in an asylum. And maybe that makes him, in a way, an easier target because you can say, well, clearly he had a disorganized mind and his orchestrations are a reflection of that incoherence.
Well, I mean, there's no question that his music is an effort for the listener. For me, Schumann is the one composer who really gave voice to all of our vulnerability. So his ability to describe it in his music, which he does very, very bravely, is a gift. I think that the feeling of loneliness, the feeling of being disconnected in some way, we all know what that means. And it's a phenomenal thing that we have Schumann to articulate it for us, because most of us don't know how to.
American pianist Jonathan Bist joining us from the NPR studios in Washington, D.C. for day one of three, talking about and playing music by Robert Schumann. Right near the end of his life, just before he attempted suicide and spent the last 2 years of his life then in an asylum, he wrote a little piano collection called Songs of the Dawn. This is 1853, just a couple of months, I think, before his suicide attempt.
Yeah, the letter to his publisher in which he said he would be sending them is, in fact, 3 days before the suicide attempt.
3 days before. So this is one of the last things he was able to finish before that fragility of mind simply became a broken mind, in a sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
I wonder if you could pick out a couple of sections from this piece to play for us.
Yeah, these are the last two. I mean, all five of them are pretty magnificent, but there's something about the way it closes. It has almost an amen feeling at the end of it, which I find almost too much, almost too touching.
Let's hear these final two sections from Gesänge der Frühe, or Songs of the Dawn, music from 1853 by Robert Schumann. Pianist Jonathan Biss is in the NPR studios in Washington, D.C.
Thank you.
That music is so tender and so direct. And it's tempting to say simple, but then there are these little things that happen that are unexpected, like the very last chord. We just heard Jonathan Biss play the last two sections from a piece by Robert Schumann called Songs of the Dawn, Gesänge der Frühe, music from 1853 by Robert Schumann. Jonathan, first of all, beautiful performance.
Thank you.
And that very last chord, you expect Schumann to just simply state the chord, but he gives it a little twist.
There's a sigh built into it.
Yeah. And that's exactly it. It's like there's a sigh. You feel it on a visceral level through so much of his music.
I hear this music in general as being the consolation you offer to a person who can't be helped. And the person in this case is Schumann himself.
This was a piece he wrote in 1853, and this was, as you said, Jonathan, 3 days before he attempted suicide. He sent a note to his publisher saying, hey, I've got this piece of music coming to you. So this was right as that was happening. His wife, Clara, was troubled by what she saw Robert going through. She said that she found him in a sea of tears at night and that he had a hard time even listening to music sometimes, that he said it cut through him like knives. I mean, this was a man who was really struggling with just day-to-day life, and yet he found a way to express it in music.
Yeah, I do have the impression when I listened to his music that this is a person who probably felt a little too much. You know, if you listen to this, as you say, it's, you know, just days before he tried to take his own life. His mind worked, I mean, at least in the sense that he was able to produce music. It wasn't like he had deteriorated to a point that he was a shell of his former self. I think throughout his life, there was this disconnect that he was really not quite cut out for the world, and yet what it was that he experienced, he could make it whole in music.
Pianist Jonathan Biss is embarking on a season-long Schumann project, a multi-dimensional Schumann project, CD, concerts, writings, and more. We're in day one of 3 days of conversation about and music by Robert Schumann with pianist Jonathan Biss. And Jonathan, I'll see you again tomorrow.
Looking forward.